guys. Welcome to episode 63 of A Strange Thing podcast. I'm Mike, and I'm not Austin. This is going to be a little bit of a different kind of episode because I'm flying solo. Yes, Austin is not here in the studio with me. He's busy taking care of life, so he's out, but we're going to try doing an episode with yours truly all by myself. Now, even though I am all by myself in the studio at this moment, we might turn this episode into something we're going to call a roasted mic. Now, basically, that's just me talking alone into the microphone and then sending Austin a pre-release version that he has the opportunity to then take and comment on at his leisure. So we will just cut him in with his little witty remarks and diatribes, whatever he wants to add. And then it would become a roasted mic. Now, you will know if this is a roasted mic episode, because if it is, we will put roasted at the end of the episode title. I know, genius, right? If it's not there, if this is just a regular title with no roasted on the end, maybe in brackets, if it's not there, it's just a regular episode with no Austin. It'll just be called a hot mic. Not because I'm hot, but because, I don't know, it just sounds cool.
So hot, you gotta listen naked.
So anyway, let's get on with this. Now, as most of you know, it has been it's been 5 months, almost to the day, since our last released episode. And that's too long. So I want to just start out by apologizing. I just want to say I'm sorry. I think most of you know that doing this podcast is a side hustle for us. We both work full-time jobs. We don't get any money for what we're doing. And we do it because we like to have adventures and we like exploring strange things. But we also know that if we ever want to expand this podcast, we're going to have to get better at our episode releases. And we want to do that, partly because we want to go out and have more explorations and more adventures. And we really enjoy sitting here together, sipping on a little whiskey, and talking about the strange things we encounter, or the strange things that other people encounter. It's just what this show is about, and it's why we do it. But life can get pretty crazy. Things can happen that are unforeseen, and there's an old adage. It says, don't let perfect become the enemy of good. And I think in a way we've kind of done that unintentionally. You know, I'd sit down and I'd try to do something quick, and it would just sound stupid to me. And I'd end up erasing it, and then I'd try it again, then I'd get frustrated, and then I'd try it again, and then I'd say, oh, forget it, I'll wait till Austin's available, and then Austin would never get to be available, and it's just been a vicious cycle. So this episode, I'm not gonna let my desire to have things perfect, well, even though they're not perfect, I'm not gonna let my desire to have things to be really, really good get in the way of it being good enough to release. And I think most of you listen not because you think we're awesome or because you think that we're, you know, so knowledgeable. I think you listen because you like the banter and you like to explore vicariously some of the topics that we talk about. So I'm just going to go with this. If we don't do it this way, who knows if and when we will ever be able to get in the studio together and make things happen in any kind of regular basis. Things are just too fluid right now. It's just, life is, well, to borrow a phrase, like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So we're going to enjoy the chocolates no matter what they are. And we would love for you to enjoy the chocolates with us. Austin and I both apologize. We're sorry that we haven't been better and being timely and consistent with our episode releases. We'll try to do better, but we can't make a promise on it because, well, life's a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're gonna get.
All right, well, on with it. I wanted to start out by explaining some of the difficulties that I have had in motivating myself in getting out there and doing more investigations and recording more episodes. For those of you that have listened in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 episodes, even though they were a long time ago, you've noticed that I started talking about this thing called the Grand Conspiracy. Now, I knew that there, or believed that there was a Grand Conspiracy my entire life. But it wasn't such a grand conspiracy. It was more of like a religious conspiracy that is kind of common in the thoughts and minds of most religious people. And that is that there's this epic battle between good and evil, God and Satan. And in many ways, it was just a very simple formula for what the cosmology of most religious people is. So when we started doing these podcasts, and, you know, right now I've got my website open. And I'm looking all the way back at the very beginning, almost 4 years ago. And I'm looking at our first episodes on cattle mutilations. That was kind of where we started, ground zero for us. And the reason that we did that is because it kind of took in these weird things, these strange things that happened in southern Idaho and ultimately all over the world. But it involved UFOs, it involved aliens, it even involved Bigfoot in some ways. And so we started our investigation there, and then we went on, and we got into the paranormal and UFOs. We talked about haunted locations, and then we got into different types of ghosts and hauntings and things like that. And there were always these threads that moved from episode to episode that seemed to tie things together, even though they were different subject matter. The aliens would be tied to ghosts and supernatural hauntings. And then we got into like the whole, you know, when Corona hit, about strange dreams. And in the strange dreams, a lot of dreams had a lot of these connections to the earlier episodes. And then we kept going. We got into petroglyphs, because Idaho, southern Idaho, where we are, is just, I mean, replete with lots of petroglyphs. There are rocks within 10 miles of the house where these ancient petroglyphs are chiseled into the rocks, and it was interesting. So we did an investigation. And as we got deeper and deeper into this, we started seeing these common threads that, again, tied all the way back to the aliens and the UFOs and the cattle mutilations and the hauntings. And it was weird. And we would comment about those as we went through those episodes. We started talking about strange holiday traditions, you know, like Christmas and Easter. And again, those threads came through. We talked about Bigfoot in several episodes. And a lot of the theories about Bigfoot contained a lot of those similar threads. That's where I started thinking about, gosh, all of this stuff is connected. This really could be some kind of grand connected conspiracy. And what happened there, there was a rub. The religious idea of good versus evil, of God versus Satan, of Jesus versus Satan, didn't fit very well, because this was outside of that. And it was kind of bugging me in my head, like, there is some other deeper stuff going on here. And, you know, I have to admit, back in, you know, like the 90s and early 2000s, I had done some investigation on these sons of God from Genesis chapter 6, or the Nephilim, that started perking my interest about, you know, this is a strange thing in the Bible. And so I started looking at that, and I remember listening to a guy named Chuck Missler, who has since passed away. But he would talk about the Nephilim, and that they were actually, you know, fallen angels that came and mated, had sex and offspring with human women.
So there's no way to escape the idea that the text implies, in fact, expresses that angels, fallen angels obviously, came down and had some kind of communion, intercourse, with the women that were offsprings of Adam. That's what the text says. It's bizarre, it's uncomfortable to many, but that's what the text says. What the text says, what the text says, what the text says, what the text says, what the text says.
So I started hearing that stuff like back in the early 2000s, and I thought it was really intriguing and really weird, but I never really got into it. I mean, it was just starting to be a thing, and so there wasn't a lot of, you know, conversations going on about it. Anyway, jumping back to now, jumping back to the future, Asa and I were still going through more and more and more of these topics in our podcast. And then, you know, I had this strange idea, let's talk about the pantheons of the gods. And partly this was motivated by some of the stuff that I'd thought about with the Watchers and the fallen Nephilim, the fallen Elohim, the fallen angels that mated with women. And, you know, I was thinking about, well, this could maybe be a possible origin for some of these stories. So we started going through a series called Strange Gods. And that kind of rocked my world a little bit. Mainly because the entities that were in all of these different pantheons, not just in the Middle East, not just in the Far East, but all over the world, including South America, they had the same characters. Now, the characters had different names. These entities had different names, but they were the same entities. They were the same gods. The same gods were all over the planet, doing the same things, requiring the same things from the, you know, their worshipers, the people that followed them. And, you know, that really got uncomfortable for me. And so this is when I started talking about, you know, the grand conspiracy, because I started seeing these threads that were running through everything. And you know what? Honestly, this was not my motivation when we started this podcast. It was not about these entities or a grand conspiracy. I just wanted to go out and look at strange things. And I ran headlong into this other dilemma. And, you know, I've thought long and hard about why this was a dilemma for me. I mean, why does it matter? All right, this is Mike cutting in here really quick. I wanted to take a second to explain what I mean when I say, like I have like five or six times now, that there are these threads that run through all of our podcast episodes. At a really high level, I'm talking about entities, of course. I mean, there are entities in almost every episode, whether they be haunted spirits, whether they be aliens, gods, things that you meet in the cryptid universe. There are all these entities. Beyond that, there is also a lot of similarities in the types of interactions that people have across the spectrum of these entities. Some of the similarities are things like the deliverance of secret knowledge that people get through and from these entities. Another thing would be there seems to be some kind of interest in sexual interaction or something to do with the reproductive system of humans. There are all kinds of stories that are similar across the entire expanse of time and also all across the globe. You also have, separated by thousands of years and thousands of miles, similarities in things like the structures of monolithic temples and ziggurats and pyramids. There are interactions that happen in these altered states of consciousness on hallucinogenic trips where they encounter entities that are strange, much like the strange things that you find in the cryptid universe or in a lot of Native American Indian legends or in Eastern legends and mythologies. The characters are the same. A lot of the subject matter is the same. So when I say these threads, I mean, at a real high level, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Back to it. You know, everybody looks through a lens at their world. The way that they understand it, they put lenses on their mind that help them grasp and understand what they're experiencing in the world. And what was happening as we went through these different investigations and exploring these different topics and starting to see these threads is that my lenses, the simple Judeo-Christian lenses that I had worn, that I was taught my whole life, were getting really fuzzy. I needed a new prescription. I needed new lenses. And so I think through the process of doing this podcast, it actually made me change the lenses through which I experience and look at the world. And it's been an ongoing process, and it's not complete. I mean, it's not done yet. I mean, I'm learning more and more every day. But what I'm starting to see and believe, now these are my lenses, and I'm sure listeners out there have their own lenses, but my lenses are changing and they're getting clarified. And I'm understanding things differently than I ever have before. And not in a bad way. It's in a way that is deeper, it's more thought-provoking, and in a lot of ways, it makes more sense. So part of the reason for this gap in time from our last episode is I've been trying to figure out how to deal with these new lenses that I've basically been forced to wear, and how that impacts my desire to go out and explore and investigate strange things. Because honestly, it's changed. It's changed the way I see things. In some ways, it made it so it wasn't fun anymore, because all of a sudden I was seeing these connections that were, you know, a lot more, we like saying nefarious, but they were truly more nefarious. And this grand conspiracy that I kept juggling around in my brain was getting more and more devious and complex and nefarious. But also, at the same time, I was getting more and more answers. And then I was thinking, well, you know what? I got to share this on the podcast. I got to talk about this on the podcast. But the problem was, our podcast, A Strange Thing, is not about a religious presentation of strange things. It's about investigating and talking about strange things. And sure, we can talk about them in a religious way through the lenses that we wear and possible explanations and viewpoints from that perspective. But the podcast is not about preaching to people on what these things are necessarily. I think we want to throw out the ideas of what they could be. But, you know, I don't want to get into the weeds and become a religious podcast that talks about strange things. I want to be a podcast that talks about strange things and maybe talks about my relationship through my cosmology and religious or spiritual belief system, but not the other way around. And besides, there are already tons of podcasts that take the religious perspective, and I love them. I listen to a lot of them. I mean, I've got Blurry Creatures.
The history of our Earth is so different from what we can imagine.
I've got A View from the Bunker.
This is A View from the Bunker. Now, here's Derek Gilbert.
I've got a whole bunch that I listen to, and they are basically Christian themed. They take a Christian worldview, and they're analyzing things as Christians for Christians, which is great, but that wasn't our podcast. Now, that said, I did feel inside this battle between feeling like I need to tell people about what I'm discovering, even if it does have a religious bent to it or spiritual theme to it, I want to be able to talk about those things. But I don't want that to be the theme of the show. And I was in a quandary. I mean, what do you do? How do you get around that? How do you talk about them with the new lenses that you've been forced to put on your face brain? How do you talk about those topics without turning off everybody else who just wants to listen and hear strange stories about strange things? And so I was trying to figure out how to do that. And I know in our episode, I called it the Grand Conspiracy. I did a really horrible job trying to explain what I was fighting with or wrestling with, because I didn't know. And so I think over the last few months, I think we've come up with a solution that gives us the best of both worlds. We're going to continue in this podcast talking about strange things. And just like before, I might throw out my ideas from my spiritual perspective through those lenses occasionally, but I'm not going to deep dive into it. A lot of these topics have really deep theological study backgrounds. There is a lot of bedrock of really good religious information that I would love to share, but that's not what this podcast is. So we're going to go out, do our investigations, and we might highlight at a very high level some of these connections, but we're not going to go deep. But what we are going to do is we're going to have the opportunity for people who are interested in more of the spiritual or theological or cosmological kind of implications of these investigations. We are going to have an exclusive membership community that you can sign up for and you can become part of. You can join the community. You can listen to the topics through that specific lens that has been developing for me and for Austin, I think, to some extent. Although Austin, he's the wise guy and he's always kind of poking at me because I'm a little strange in this area. And, you know, honestly, I've really started to understand and believe in the things that I'm talking about from the spiritual vantage point with these new lenses. To me, they make sense and they're very, very real. So anyway, back to what I was saying. We are starting on Patreon a members-only exclusive content for anybody who wants to join. Now, typically, Patreon, you think, oh, I gotta buy it. I gotta pay money to get this content. That is the last thing I wanted to do. I don't want to sell this content, but I want to make it available. And also because some of the topics we're going to be talking about in this exclusive members area might get us blocked or banned on some of the social media platforms, Patreon seemed to be the best way to do it in an exclusive membership kind of way that would protect us from getting shadow banned on Facebook or some of the other social media platforms. And some of the content that we're going to put in this special exclusive membership area, which we're calling the Stranger Zone. I don't talk about it much, but in my professional life, I'm an artist animator. And so I'm going to be creating some specialized animated and explanatory videos for some of these ideas and concepts. Because I guarantee you, if you have a religious background, in a traditional Christian sense, you're going to have your mind blown. I did, and I even think about things in weird ways. I mean, that's just the way my brain works. And this has been a total mind blower for me. It's opened up so many things and made things so much richer and deeper. So I'm just saying, that's going to happen. If you're not religious, and you're like, I don't want to go get preached to. I promise I'm not going to be preachy. I'm just going to talk about it flat out. From a Christian perspective. So if you're not a Christian or an atheist or something like that, you still might want to join this exclusive membership area and just listen. I mean, you might think it's crazy, weird, whatever, and that's okay. But you might get something out of it. And, you know, I think other people out there that, you know, have kind of lost their faith, you know, I think this might be a way that you might get some answers that might help restore some of that faith. I don't know. Anyway, this exclusive members area is going to be on Patreon. I'm going to put links to it in the show notes. And we'll be talking about it over the next, well, probably in every episode from here on out. And the thing about it is you can join for free. Like I said, I don't want to charge anything for this. I just want to get this content out there for people to hear and to wrestle with. And so if you click the link in the show notes and go to the Patreon page, and join, make sure you click on join for free. And then it won't cost you anything and you'll have access to all levels of the content that we provide. Everything, 100% of everything we do, you'll be able to get. Now, one thing, and this is a Patreon limitation, you won't be able to access the chat community if you're not a paid donor. I wish that wasn't so. It's not something that I control. So I did set up some very low monthly tiers that you can join. I think I've got a $1 tier and a $2 tier. And you can, if you want to join and have access to a community where you can join in the chat, it'll cost you $1 a month. That's just a Patreon limitation. If you want to give a little more and buy Austin or me a cup of coffee once a month, there's a $2 tier. And, you know, you don't have to do that. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying that's available. We do spend a lot of time. We do have full-time jobs. We spend a lot of money in going out and doing these investigations. So if you want to contribute to that, and we've got a couple people that already have, you're welcome to do that, and we'd really appreciate it. I will definitely give you a shout-out, like I'm giving a shout-out to Brian. Thank you so much. You are our first paid member. For a Stranger Zone, and we appreciate you, and we know who you are, and you know who we are, and we're just very thankful. So, okay, become an exclusive member for free and get your hands on this content. I think you'll really enjoy it. There is no content there right now, but there will be shortly. All right. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled podcast. You know, I wanted to just very briefly talk about the change of my, I don't know, theological lenses, if you will. And this is kind of hard to talk about because it's religious a little bit, but I think people will be interested in this whether they're religious or not. In Christianity, there is this traditional view of God created the heavens and the earth and mankind, and then an evil serpent tempted mankind through Eve to eat forbidden fruit. And then, because they fell and ate the forbidden fruit, they realized they were naked. God made clothes out of animal skins and kicked them out of the garden. And then there's been this continuous warfare between God and his ultimate nemesis, Satan. To some extent, I still believe that. But now I think it's a lot more than that. There is this concept. It used to be the standard kind of idea back through like the 4th century. And it's called the divine counsel concept. And it's biblical. So don't think I'm going off all heretical here. But the divine counsel concept is basically that. Is that God, from the beginning, had and created a divine council of Elohim. Elohim is the word that we derive the English word gods from. So basically, God, Creator God, set up a divine council of gods that were with him in the beginning when he created man. You'll find references to this in the book of Job. They sang for glory at the creation. So these gods, these Elohim, I mean, it kind of makes it sound like all of a sudden we're talking about a pantheon of gods. It's not that. I mean, that was my fear when I first started exploring this concept. It's like, wait a minute. What do you mean? There's only one God. God even says there's only one God. How could there be a lot of gods? How could there be a council of gods? Well, the idea is that word Elohim, and Michael Heiser, Dr. Michael Heiser, who recently passed away, he talks about the word Elohim as basically an identity of location. So he wrote a book called The Unseen Realm. And in this book, he talks about that Elohim simply means that you're a resident of the unseen realm, this spiritual realm that we can't see, the realm of the spirits. So Elohim just means you're a creature from the unseen realm. But it's also a name that's given to God because God is in the unseen realm. He's spirit. So it's kind of used for God in a generic sense, but it's also used as a category for entities within the unseen realm. So anyway, okay, you get the picture. There is God, and he created all these spiritual beings that are in an unseen realm. And when he created mankind, Adam and Eve, and put them in the garden, and there's a lot of nuances to this, I'm not going to get into it really deep, but this is strange. So while they're in the garden, they're tempted by the Satan. Think of him as the accuser or the prosecuting attorney. And he tempts Adam and Eve, and they fall. And then God kicks them out of the garden, and he basically puts more Elohim, or angels, at the entrances, and he blocks them from getting access back into the Garden of Eden, because in the Garden of Eden is a tree that if they eat, they would live forever in a fallen state. So he removes them from the garden. Everybody's kind of familiar with that story, and that's kind of what most of us have left it as. I mean, that's the way we were taught it in Sunday school and church and even seminaries. But what I didn't realize is that that's only one of three major incursions of these gods, these Elohim, into the realm of mankind, into the seen realm. And these incursions were rebellions. And each one of these rebellions had dire consequences for the human race. Now, this is where, like, if you're religious, if you have a Christian background, for those of you who haven't heard this before, this is where your mind starts kind of freaking out a little bit. So you have the first incursion. That's Satan in the garden tempting Adam and Eve in the fall of man. Then you have, in Genesis chapter 6, this strange idea of these Elohim. In the Book of Enoch, they're called the Watchers. And they look down from the unseen realm and see the daughters of men, and they see that they're beautiful, they're gorgeous. And it's like, I want them. Plus, we know from other areas in the Bible that the angels, the Elohim, don't procreate like humankind do. God created mankind to procreate and fill the earth and take dominion over the earth. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say that about angels. These watchers come to earth and take human daughters as their wives, as many as they choose. And they start having unholy hybrid offspring. These were called the Nephilim. And the Nephilim, especially you find this out in the Book of Enoch that expands on it. And just as a side note, the Book of Enoch is a pseudepigraphal book. And that means it's not in the canon of the Bible or most Bibles. And in this book, it talks about these Nephilim and what they did, and these fallen watchers and what they did, and how at the end the watchers were judged and thrown into the deepest hell, into Tartarus. And it's strange because, you know, we hear this and we think, oh, that's not a book in the Bible, and so it can't be right. But in the first century, when the writers of the New Testament were writing, they knew these stories and they believed and accepted these stories. You'll find references to the Book of Enoch in Jude and Peter. So anyway, that little side note. These hybrid offspring, they were also called giants. We might do a whole episode on this because I think it would be fascinating for people. But they were giants, and it says that they polluted not only the seed of man, but also animals. So they didn't just procreate with humans, but also maybe with animals. And that there were these kind of weird chimeras. And if you think about the gods of the different pantheons, that seems to fit, you know, kind of hand in glove with some of those narratives. There are other books that describe the similar types of things, like the Enuma Elish and the Epic of Gilgamesh. I mean, these are ancient literary works that also talk about similar kinds of beings and creatures that come and fight and interbreed with mankind. And yeah, anyway, I don't want to get too deep into it because we're just talking about the three incursions. And this is incursion number two. So incursion number two is these watchers come to earth, shack up with women, have unholy offspring, and corrupt the seed of mankind. Now, just to back up a little bit, in the Garden of Eden, there's a prophecy given when man falls. And it says that through the seed of the woman, that a death blow would be given to Satan. And Satan would strike the heel of this savior that was going to come and save the human race. So there's a promise given to Adam and Eve in the garden that through their offspring, God would redeem them, would bring them back into communion with them, bring them back into the garden, so to speak. So, flash forward to Genesis chapter 6. It seems like the incursion of these watchers was not only just to have offspring or just because they thought, you know, that women were hot. There's also this possibility that they had a more nefarious reason for doing this, and that is to corrupt the seed, the genetic lineage from Adam and Eve. If they could destroy it, if they could corrupt it and turn it into a hybrid seed, then the promise of the Messiah coming through the line of Adam and Eve would be destroyed. So there would be no saving of humankind. Anyway, that's a little backstory there that I find very interesting. A few generations go by, these Nephilim are running around, boinking women, animals, anything they want. They started eating humans, cannibalism. Things went really, really bad, really, really fast, to the point that the whole earth was corrupt. And then we have the flood of Noah story. God, in mercy, stops the virus, the hybrid virus of corruption in the lineage of man by destroying the world. And we all know the Noah story, Noah and the Ark. So That's incursion number two and how it ended. Then we get to incursion number three. And for this, we go forward a few chapters in the book of Genesis to Genesis chapter 11, where man, after the flood, has come out of the boat. They've been very busy with their reproductive cycles, and they are starting to spread out. And God said, spread out and fill the whole earth. Kind of the same command he gave to Adam and Eve. Go out and take dominion over the earth. Well, what does man do? They don't do that. They revolt. They go to the plain of Shinar and they build a tower. They say, hey, let's build a big tower. It's called the Tower of Babel. It's another famous story that a lot of people have heard. But here's a part that many of us have never heard. I had never heard this. And that is they're building this tower. And God says, hey, let's go down and check out what they're doing. And he's talking to his divine council. He's saying, let us go down. Now, some people will say, well, that's a reference to the Trinity. It's not. There's a lot of good reasons for that, but this isn't about biblical theology in this podcast. This is about the story. So they go down, God and his divine council, these other Elohim, and they're looking at what's going on. And he says, everybody speaks the same language, and anything that they want to do will not be impossible for them. What are we going to do about it? The story of Babel is that God confuses their language so that he can disperse them throughout the world. A part that we often miss is that it talks about God in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8. When he divided the nations, he put his sons, the sons of God, these Elohim, over the nations. So basically what you get here in the third incursion is that God confuses the languages. He takes his sons, his angelic host, his created council, and according to the number of the sons of God, he places them over each one of the nations. Their purpose is basically so that they can shepherd the human race, so that they can keep them safe, provide what they need. Basically, they're going to be stewards. They're going to be servants over the nations. But guess what? They don't. They start demanding worship. They become the gods of the nations. They become the gods of the pantheons that we talked about in our topics of strange gods. That's why these gods are the same. The stories of all of these pantheons and the gods that are there and the similarities that are there are because they are these sons of God that were put in place over the nations to keep them safe and to bring them back to God. But they don't. They divert them off to themselves. Where do we go from here? 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 Now, none of this was, you know, something in the biblical narrative that catches God off guard. He knew what was going on. And there's some great, great verses, like in Psalm 82, verses 6 and 7, where he talks about the judgment of these sons of God because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And that even though that they're gods, Elohim, eternal beings, that they are going to die like men. But anyway, it's a really crazy story if you haven't heard it before. So you have these three incursions, and they all include these spiritual beings called Elohim, or gods, little g gods. This stuff is really fascinating and really interesting. But what it did for me as I went on in my podcast journey is that I started seeing these things, and all of a sudden, all of these little nuances that were the threads that were connecting all of the topics we were talking about, all of a sudden, they started coming together with the understanding of this divine council worldview. And I got to tell you, it's rocked my world. It's deepened my faith, which I'm so excited about, because it makes things more real. And so now when I go out and I'm exploring something or investigating something, I understand that there are entities, and I tried to explain this in the Grand Conspiracy episode, didn't do a very good job, but there are entities there that are behind the things that are happening in a supernatural sense in this world. And there are lots of ways they connect. And the thing about it is, from a Christian perspective, is that they're all out to deceive and destroy. I mean, they hate us. They hate humanity. But they're very smart. And they've been around for a long, long time. And they have crazy tech. And they live in a realm that we can't see. And we don't know how that interacts with our world. And how that they can move in and out of our world. It's strange. It's very strange. It's like the epitome of the name of our podcast. It is a strange thing. Now, one other thing that I didn't elaborate on is that when God destroyed the world in the flood in the time of Noah, because everything was violent, because these Nephilim, these hybrids, had taken over the human race and were destroying everything, and they were corrupting the genealogies of mankind and of animals. When he destroyed the world, and these Nephilim that were on the surface of the earth were destroyed, it destroyed their flesh. It did not destroy their eternal spirit side from their angelic or Elohim parents. So these creatures, they lost their flesh, but their spirit remained. And it talks about in the book of Enoch that they wander around hungry. They're forever thirsty and forever hungry because they no longer have a body, but they can't be satisfied, and they're condemned to walk the earth. And so that is the origin of demons. The demonic activity that we see in the world and have heard about in the New Testament are the remnants of these destroyed Nephilim. It's their spiritual essence with their body removed. And that's why when they get the chance, you hear of demon possession, they want to be in a body. And, you know, in the Bible, it talks about Jesus let them get into a herd of pigs. They would rather be in animals, in pigs, than to be bodiless. So they're here on the planet with us and longing to get back, and they're angry and they're mad. And then their parents, the watchers that were bound in Tartarus, had to watch all of their children, all of these Nephilim, drown in the flood. And they hate us. They hate you. They hate me. And they'll do anything they can to deceive us. But at the same time, they have great power, great knowledge, great tech. This is where you can kind of tie in conceptually with the ideas of alien technology. You know, it's such a big deal right now. They're talking in Congress about reverse engineering alien spacecraft, or utilizing technology that is not from the Earth. It's weird how this worldview can just basically interlace with almost all of the things we've talked about on our podcast. And so that's kind of the new lens that I've been putting on, or that's been evolving in the way I've been seeing things and understanding the things that we've investigated in the past, and the things that I'm so excited to investigate in the future, to see how they fit in this new lens that's being developed on my face, or in my eyes, or in my heart, or brain, or wherever that lens is. But I'm thankful for it, because it's exciting. And now when we go out and do investigations, I can test those ideas with what I'm learning. And I'm really excited about that. And I can't wait to... We're going to do some investigations in the near future. I know that we've been talking about werewolves and dogmen. We've been talking about the black-eyed children. We've been talking about small people, you know, fairies and stuff like that. We've also talked about revisiting Bigfoot and aliens and cattle mutilations, and talking about them in context a little bit with this new divine council kind of worldview, and what these potential connections are to these entities that are very prolific. I mean, when I say prolific, I don't mean that they can breed and populate, but that they were created in mass. And just like we have different races and different kinds of animals and different kinds of creatures in the physical realm, it appears that there are the same kind of, you know, the robustness of creation within the spiritual realm. And not all of those entities have fallen. And not all of those entities are bad. I mean, we have all kinds of stories of angels coming to the rescue of humanity or people. Heck, we have stories of Bigfoot coming to the aid and rescue of children and humanity. I mean, it's weird. Are they all connected? I wonder. So let me just wrap this up by saying I am really excited about the future of this podcast and what we're doing. I'm excited about this new lens that I put on my face and brain and heart, whatever. And I'm excited to go on these journeys with you. But I'm also excited to talk about them in depth in the exclusive membership area on Patreon. Remember, it is 100% totally free. I don't want to make money. I just want a way to separate this podcast from the more theologically oriented information that I want to present. I want to tell those stories too, but I know those aren't for everybody, and I don't want this podcast to become what so many podcasts already are. And I'll be giving a lot of references to other podcasts. If you want to find those Christian-themed Strange Thing podcasts, I can definitely hook you guys up. So there's going to be a lot of information on other podcasts, you know, that I think have a really good handle on some of these ideas. And but anyway, yeah, join. Go to the link in the show notes. Go over, select join for free. Or if you want to throw a buck or two our way, that's cool too. But join for free and you'll get all the content for free. We're not selling that. Anyway, another thing you can do to help support us if you'd like is you can join our Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and look up a Strange Thing group. You can go and make comments. I do have a filter on there now so that I have to review everything that's posted because there were some naughty people posting things they shouldn't. But I do that typically very fast. So you can share a story. You can share, you know, something that you saw online, whatever, to the Strange Thing community. That would be great. Also, we've got a Facebook page. That's not a group. It's our podcast page. Join there and you'll get all the information for all our new releases, both on Patreon and on our podcasting platforms. Another thing you can do is join our X, and we're also on Instagram. And the thing is, and you know, it's kind of embarrassing, but the more connections and interactions we have with people who listen with this, if we know you're there, that really motivates us to do more. And I know when it gets silent, it's really hard, but we know a lot of people are really interested and they enjoy those investigations. So we're going to keep doing it. And if you want to help motivate us, join us in those social media groups on Insta and X and our Facebook pages. And don't forget to check out our website where you can leave comments and have connections to our email links. And yeah, on that happy note, I'd just say join us next time for some cold drinks or hot coffee, which is what I'm drinking, and some strange conversations. Taters.